Welcome to the ID10T podcast number 975. Let's talk about ID10T.com, which any day now is going to be all new, redesigned, and there's going to be a lot of fun merch stuff there. Hopefully soon some ID10T t-shirts to look at and wear and support the podcast, and maybe some other fun things, wardrobe things, toys maybe. So keep checking it out until it goes up. Hey, there's stuff there now, but then there'll be more stuff there soon. It's the holidays. All right, you're well aware of that. If you want to share your event or thing, just email events@id10t.com. Like Bill, who writes, I'm writing in to share a thing my wife, Jenzi, made. After 2 years of designing and prototyping her perfect paper planner, she launched the Oko Planner for 2019. She produced a small run for 2019, and it's a thing of beauty for people who plan or journal on paper, not just digitally. I'm pretty sure there's a few people in the ID10T communities that still enjoy putting pen to paper. I am one of them. And this is for them. People can find it at ointmentco.com. So ointmentco.com. Also, Teddy writes, my youth organization, International Youth Fellowship, is hosting a Christmas cantata performed by the Gracias Choir. The Gracias Choir is a world-class volunteer choir who performs in 60 countries worldwide and 25 cities in North America each year. The cantata will be held on December 28th at the Verizon Theater, Grand Prairie, Texas, at 7 p.m. It is a completely free concert, and anyone can request their free tickets by emailing dallas@iyfusa.org. We hope to see you there. All right, again, events@id10t.com. This episode is Elizabeth Reeser, who is great. Oh, my God. You know, my wife, Lydia, and I gush about this quite a bit, but she's in The Haunting of Hill House, which is on Netflix, which is fantastic. We watched it, loved it. And then Elizabeth came on the podcast. You've also seen her in Twilight. She's in a million things, and she's so friggin' funny, and we had a great time. We talk a lot about some TM, some little bit of transcendental meditation, which is good for your brain. And I really, really, really enjoyed this conversation. So I am going to shut up now and start the ID10T podcast number 975 with Elizabeth Reeser.
Initiating ID10T protocol.
Please, have some water.
Can I pour you some?
Oh, thank you very much.
Sure.
Very kind of you.
You're welcome.
I see you chose Lando.
Did I?
You got Lando Calrissian. He's a good one.
God, I wish I knew that reference. I'm already fucking up here.
You're fine. It's okay. Fine. Here, I'll leave this here just okay. In case you want some more. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's nice to meet you.
It's nice to meet you, too.
My wife and I loved Hill House.
Oh, my gosh.
Loved it.
Good.
It
thanks.
Was so good.
Gosh, thanks.
I mean, it was, listen, ghost stories are hard to tell. And the thing that we loved about it was that it kind of wasn't just a ghost story. It was almost incidental to this really dense, fucked up family drama.
Yeah.
That actually... Your show did something that most shows don't do, which is that it had a definite ending. And we were worried that it was just going to be open-ended. And we were like, so many questions. And it's a satisfying arc.
It's so funny. I want you to explain it to me because I'm like, what is the ending? I haven't seen, obviously I read it and I was in it. So
yeah.
I get it. But I'm so interested in hearing other people's take on the ending and how
it Do you not feels. Watch your stuff?
I sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I wait a little while.
Yeah.
I mean, this was so intense, as you can imagine. And I just don't have perspective on it yet.
Gotcha.
When did you shoot that?
We finished it. It seems like I should be over it.
what a freak.
We need to get you some PTSD.
Yeah, well, I mean, therapy. A little bit. It's like we finished it in May, and we're all sort of like, it was so intense.
Oh, my God. The turnaround that was insane.
Yeah. Well, he was editing it while we were shooting it.
Gotcha.
You know, he does it all.
I would – listen – If you're able to separate from it and just watch as a viewer, it's stunning. I mean, it's really beautiful to like the composition. And there's one shot that I think maybe like 15 minutes long.
Yeah, that was cool. That I know. I mean, I didn't watch that. And he tried to actually get us to – some people watched it on the day, and I just thought, no, I'll be ruined forever if I if I see this. But we had one take. I think it was like 24 minutes.
It was that long, yeah.
Yeah.
And we were watching, and my wife picked up on it pretty quickly before I did. She goes, I don't think there's any cuts yet. And we kept watching, and we kept watching.
Yeah.
And then I think Timothy Hutton's character like walks in onto another set and it's still the same shot and follows him back. I mean, the orchestration was incredible.
Yeah, that was insane. I mean, that was, you know, that was like doing a play and but without the right amount of rehearsal time.
It stressed me out in the sense that as it got most of the way into it, I was like, oh, my God, if anyone fucks up like one thing.
And that happened. And I'm not going to name names, but there was one take that someone at the very end, you know. But it was fine. It wasn't meant to be the take. And luckily we got to do it again. And it was so much better than that take. But I'm just thank God that it wasn't me.
as long as you can sleep at night going, I didn't do it.
Yeah,
I wasn't the
I'm
one.
I'm fine with anyone else fucking up. I just can't have it be me. And that's why I sort of started rehearsing. As soon as I got that script, I just started rehearsing it, praying that they wouldn't rewrite it too much because I knew that I had to have it like in such a deep way before I could do it.
Yeah. Did you take a break after that or did you immediately jump on to something else?
Oh, yeah. Oh, you mean after I shot that show?
Yeah.
I had a little break and then I went and did Easy, this other Netflix show that is totally different. It's all improvised and about relationships. But so I had a little bit of a break and then I went and just went and did a movie. But now I'm going to have a real break.
Yeah. Well, it's holidays now. So you should you should power down a little bit.
Yeah. I'm going to power it down.
After the emotional. Do you kind of... It sounds like maybe a little bit like you probably need to decompress a little bit after some of these shows.
Yeah, I think more than I realize. Like that's the over time you start to go, oh yeah, I temporarily lost my mind. You know, I was pretending to be someone else for 9 months. That's what I love about doing a TV show, but it's also really weird.
Yeah.
You know, you start talking like a person, acting like a person for a long time. You become that person. And so I think it would be nice to power it down for that reason.
Well, because your brain knows that it's fake, but your body doesn't know that it's entirely fake.
Your body doesn't know it's fake at all. I remember hearing Sigourney Weaver say, like, if you just relax your body physically, it's really kind of all you need to do because it doesn't know what's coming.
Right. Oh my God, that's great advice. I mean, that's kind of like, that's really good advice.
Yeah, I think she said it on, you know, Actor's Studio or something, but it always stuck with me. And that's kind of been like, for me as an actor over the years, just getting more and more and more relaxed. So I sort of feel my most relaxed when I'm on set doing it.
Have you been to, you must have been to Comic-Cons, right? Because of Twilight, you must have been.
Yeah.
But it sounds like that... When you saw it, when I was like, oh, that's Lando Calrissian, you go, I wish I knew this shit. Is that's a pretty foreign part of your life?
Yeah. I'm like, I've been so lucky to be a part of this world and the Twilight thing and now this. And I just don't know. I don't know anything about it. Who is this guy?
He's the equivalent of a space pirate. And
who is this actor?
That Billy Dee Williams.
Me. Yes, okay.
And he essentially double crosses the main characters, but you forgive him because it was sort of at the hands of the Empire and he wasn't, you know, like he's an old friend of Han Solo's.
Okay.
And,
well, see, I have nephews and they love this.
Yeah.
So I got to revisit it. And this is Princess Leia?
That's Princess Leia.
Okay. And that is Harrison Ford.
That's Harrison Ford down there, yeah. And then that's just some stormtrooper. He's disposable.
Okay.
The stormtroopers are
that's
like Kleenex.
That's a Halloween costume.
Yeah, that's a Halloween costume right there. You know, The only thing that I have to say about Twilight is why was she into this guy who never was happy? Not one time. He brooded the entire time. They finally got together. They get married. And he's and it's like, you're fucking still not happy? Like, it's just like every bad relationship you've ever had. It was literally a toxic relationship.
It was toxic.
Physically and emotionally.
I think it's when you're young and you think dudes like that are hot. You know? Just like personality free. Earnest. I don't know. I mean, he was, I think that is very sexy when you're young. It seems like he's got a lot going on.
Right.
You know, he's upset. You know, and that's just so hot. And then you get older and you're like, I will run.
Absolutely. I feel like that, sure, her character, Bella, her character would have gotten, like in 20 years, her character would have been like, oh my God, I went out with this douchebag. I can't believe. What was I thinking?
I didn't marry him.
Yeah, I mean, I did, but then it was, and then we had a kid, but she immediately was a grown up.
Vampire. Yeah.
So it's all fine. She'll have the rest of eternity to just contemplate that one, like, God,
big
what was
mistake.
I? What was I thinking?
I mean, I guess he loves her, and that's also the appeal. I think when you're a young girl, the idea of someone just, I mean, or any age, just loving you, you know, like the drama of him loving her, and she's supposed to be, it's so weird because it's Kristen Stewart, who's one of the most beautiful people on the planet.
Right.
But we're supposed to think that she's like, why would he love me? You know? I'm just Kristen Stewart, the hottest bitch in town. It's like, girl, what? Just none of it computes, but we go with it. She's just an everyman.
It seems like almost like an allegory for what it's like to when you're young and you date a dude in a shitty band. Like it sort of feels like that.
But he's in a band.
and the stuff he's writing is just so fucking real. You just don't even want to know the storms that are brewing. In the soul, you know, and then after a while, I was like, oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and then once you get in there and you get to know it, you're like, this is boring. There's nothing here.
Maybe I need to be with people that uplift and support me rather than drag me down.
Right. Yeah. Maybe. I guess he did drag her down.
He did drag her. I mean, you know, whatever. She gets to become a vampire. She gets to be all sparkly. So that part's fun. But, you know, other than, I mean, well, I guess technically. I mean, if we're being sort of literal about it, he gave her a bunch of emotional trauma and technically an STD. I mean, vampirism is essentially an STD. So he gave her eternal herpes, sort of, in a way. I mean, it's like, and there's upsides to it.
And she has to be with him forever.
Oh, is that part of the deal?
Doesn't she?
I don't know.
I mean, can she go be with someone else in 100 years?
I don't know. And
does he make her a vampire? I can't remember right now.
Someone makes her a vampire because I think their baby is trying to chew its way out of her, and I think they have to make her one to save her life. And then I think when she's a little girl, the werewolf locks in on her,
who was originally in love with her mother.
Yeah, and then he's like
Kristen Stewart. He's like, forget it.
Yeah, hey,
the younger.
I see where this is trending.
That was so ill. I remember that at the time, thinking like, this is a child, the young girl who's playing Renesmee, which is a combination of my name and.
Yes.
You know, Bella's mother's name, Esme, and not me, Elizabeth, but Esme, which I thought, okay, we're doing Renesmee.
Sure.
And it's actually beautiful, but he imprints on her or something? He decides he's going to go out with her?
Yeah, because I think she'll be an adult in like a week or something, like whatever the sort of weird vampire timelines
are.
Yeah.
I remember thinking, oh, this is sick.
I kind of feel like if you put that in a movie now, people would be like, No. I know it's a book. I know it was in the book.
Yeah.
I guess it was in the book.
I think it's different when you don't see it.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yep. When you're just reading about it.
When you're just imagining it.
I remember seeing it and being like, so everyone's just okay with this?
I remember having that thought on set. I think that's why I can't remember anything that happened, because my brain just shut down.
The next series is Jacob's character's in court.
But she's like 100 years old by then, right? Yeah, she's already, probably. It's over. What happens to her? Does she age, keep aging? She's aging rapidly, right?
I don't know. Does she just like, I didn't read the series and I didn't see the last movie. So I assume, I don't know what happens.
I don't either.
I don't know what happens. Maybe she gets to a certain point and it's like just doesn't age anymore.
Yeah, let's hope, right?
But that's sort of confusing because in other vampire tales, kids are just kids permanently. But she was born of it. I have no idea what the rules are.
Yeah. I think the rules are like you stop growing once you're hot.
What?
You know what I mean?
You just get to hot and then your body's like, we're done. Yeah, this is done. We don't need to do anything more with
it. You're stuck here forever.
I've had this conversation before about the idea that, you know, an expiration date on our lives is good because it makes us appreciate things. It makes things precious. If you had eternity, nothing would mean anything. Yeah. Like it sounds.
No stakes.
No stakes at all. Like it's in one sense, it sounds like, oh, it'd be fun to. In the other sense, like, yeah, but then nothing would mean anything because it's like, well, you have endless, you know, you're just time. You're a time billionaire. So it doesn't none of it really means anything.
I still would like it.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
Is there a certain, like, would you want to be, at what age would you want to freeze if you had the choice?
I think now.
Like, right now?
Right now.
You just want to freeze, like, right now?
Yeah. I mean, I've still got a little bit of sex appeal, but I'm evolved. I'm an adult.
Right, right.
You know, I could still probably find people to date me, but... But I'm not young and stupid,
right?
You know,
right. You've gotten the Edwards out of your system,
right?
Like you're just ready for the nice guy.
Right, ready for the nice guy, yeah.
Yeah, the nice guy's like, hey, don't worry about what I'm thinking. How do you feel? I mean, at one time did Edward ever say that?
Never.
But how do you feel?
Never. But no one ever says that.
Let's talk about your feelings. My feelings are irrelevant. I'll wrap around whatever it is that you need.
How are you?
Yeah, exactly.
There's nothing more seductive than that, by the way. If you ever just want to like get down someone's pants, just say, how are you?
I mean, listen, we could fool around or we could just talk about your day. Yeah. Like, what is it? Like, what do you...
How are you?
How are you is the new first base.
It really is. Yeah. I mean, especially if you're a woman. I mean, a man is like probably used to being asked that. I don't know. Being listened to.
Yeah, just don't think about trying to get into someone's pants. Think about getting into their brain's pants, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, look, if you can do that, you can go anywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
From there, I think.
Exactly. Yeah. I guess it just works when you're young because you think the drama is passion or you think it's like it's got substance because it's so intense.
Yeah.
But I think everyone just has to go through that.
Yeah, I think you have to go through that. It also just depends on how broken you are. You know, if you have really good parents, maybe you don't need that. I don't know.
Right. I don't know. I don't know. I feel like everyone, even if they have good parents, still has to like make their dumb mistakes. And, you know, like it's just how you suss the world out.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Trial and error.
You went to Juilliard?
Yeah.
Now, were there a lot of like complicated performer types at Juilliard?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you just get in the elevator and it was like, oh god.
Oh please.
Oh god, please let me off soon. no, because you had dance, drama, and music all three together.
Right.
Which I mean, there was no better. You know, I mean, I cried every day there. It was horrible and wonderful and, you know, torturous and great.
How do they, like, is it a traditional grading system at Juilliard or is it like a pass fail kind of thing? Or do you,
I think it's either you survive or you don't, you know?
Gotcha.
It's like you either get kicked out or at least in the drama division, which does happen, but they'll talk to you. They basically sit you down at the end of each term and they tell you how terrible you are. And I mean, this is when I was there. I've heard now it's more like lovey-dovey.
Gotcha.
But when I was there, it was the kind of the model for it.
Gotcha. And they are talking about your performance level and not so much your like, do they factor in like, well, this person's really committed, other people are kind of phoning it in?
Well, that sort of enraged me because I was trying to be a good student, you know, and I was from Michigan and just felt so lucky to be there. So I was always on time and you know, had a good attitude. None of that counted for anything. You know, there would be these people that would show up late, unprepared, and, you know, like any thing, and be brilliant, and it didn't matter, you know. But that is a good model. I mean, it's a good, you know, that is a big part of how this business works.
Did any of those people go on to work, or did the late, or did the kind of like show up late people, are they the people that you go like, yeah, they were really brilliant. Whatever happened to that person?
Yeah.
That's incredible. That's, yeah. That's actually kind of nice to hear, because, and not that someone didn't succeed per se, but just that, that like preparation and showing up does count.
Well, I mean,
for
I never
something.
Thought about it. You're making me feel good, because I, because those people were so much more talented, I think, than any of the rest of us. I mean, those people
right.
that were, you know, just things I will never forget. But then there were those people that would just grind it. And I know, like, especially having been doing this for as long as I have now, you know, that perseverance, you know, and just hard work, and that does count for something, and you get better, you know, the more you get to do it.
Yeah, it almost sounds like the same thing we were saying with, if you had eternity, then you wouldn't appreciate anything, and if you have an abundance of like raw talent early on, then
yeah.
you might not be conditioned to push or grow or try, because you just don't know, because everyone's
yeah,
just
I think
like,
those
so
people
good.
Take it for granted. I mean, when you just yeah, there were those people that are too talented. They don't have to like they don't know how to either focus it, or they're too talented at too many things.
Yeah,
and they can't decide, or it's just too easy, and then you don't want it as bad as someone like me who's just been grinding it and trying to do this basically since I was two, you know. It's all
yeah.
I ever wanted to do.
So it sounds like it's good to kind of suck when you're young, but have the drive and have enough talent that you can sort of like develop it
yeah.
and evolve it, so that you then have to work a bit harder.
I think that's the great, you know, recipe. If in fact you can get a break, you know, it's that there's that too, because it's so much of it is luck. But I do think having to get better. Like, I've failed so much, and I've had times where I didn't work for so long, and I really had to get real with myself.
And say what?
And just figure out, like, just get better at it. And it forced me to grow as a person, which I think makes you a better actor. And it's like I had to learn how to see what was there, like where I really was, and just deal with it. And you just get so fucking strong when you fail in this business, I think.
Yeah.
It's like you either don't survive it, this work, or you get so strong.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, yes, because one of our sort of core human directives is do not be rejected ever. And the business is basically just a steeplechase of rejection. And rejection for all types of reasons, things you can control, things you can't control, things that make you question whether or not you are worth anything, things that make you feel ugly, things that make you feel untalented, like so many. So if
yeah.
it's almost like if you can get through this steeplechase, there is a reward at the end, but you just got to fucking stay in the race.
Yeah, you got to stay in the race. And it's like, and it's, you know, it's the women that I know that have stuck around, because I've been seeing the same gals at auditions for however many 20 years now. And, you know, it's like the ones that you still see, it's like there is such an acknowledgement between us of like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's cool. I mean, that is something I've found to be, I mean, you have to wrestle with mortality at a much earlier age,
mm-hmm.
I think. You know, I think if you're in any other line of work, you know, you get better at it, you get promoted, you keep doing it, hopefully you get better. And then, you know, you're 70, you're like, all right, I'm done. But, you know, here you can be done at a much younger age.
Right.
And you have to kind of mourn certain parts of yourself that you wouldn't have to mourn if you were a lawyer.
Right.
You could still think, wow, I'm still, you know, you wouldn't have to think like I'm old now.
Right.
You don't have to be confronted with that. So I think that's also a really interesting part of it.
And also just trying to figure out how to be content wherever you are. So, you know, if you're young, you play younger parts. And then at a certain point, you might play parent parts.
Yeah.
And then at a certain point, you might play grandparent. And, you know, just like being comfortable at each step of the way, going, okay, well, this is where I'm at now, and that's fine. And I did that other thing, and now I'm doing this thing.
Yeah. It forces you to look at it. And also to see yourself and to see, you know, to see what is there. I remember My sister one time was talking to me about this, and just having to look at your face in that way, where you are sort of objectifying yourself, is a really weird thing, but it does force you to see what is there. And that I think that can apply to every aspect of your life if you're willing to look.
Yeah. And then through those time periods, I always feel bad for people who are hardcore actors, because at least as a stand-up, I can just go do comedy whenever I really feel like I need to do my thing.
Yeah.
But what are you supposed to do? Like, put up a scene? So, like, hey, come over and let's run scenes. Like, what are you supposed to do when you're aching to do the thing that you want to do?
Yeah, I mean, you just, like, torture your boyfriend. You know what I mean? You go insane. I mean, you just go crazy. No, I mean, you have to meditate. You have to do shit. You've got to be, like, really serious about your inner life, and yeah.
Are you meditate? Do you meditate?
I do.
Me too.
You do?
I do.
Do TM? I do.
And it's interesting that the more I've talked to so many people lately that are where it just sort of like comes out like, oh, I've been meditating. Are you doing TM? Yeah, I am. And it isn't something that I heard a lot about before, like a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And now I feel like more and more people are acknowledging it, because as the world seems seemingly more and more uncontrollable, with just, you know, with life and everything whatever's going on, it's the one thing where you're like, well, I can't do anything about all that. So I guess I just have to figure out how to not get sucked into that and just quiet my brain a little bit.
I mean, it's the most profound, subtly profound thing. I don't know if you feel this way, but like, it's just over time I've noticed like so many changes in my life that I couldn't have muscled my way through, that were only possible, I think, through meditating. And when I don't meditate, it's really noticeable.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very cumulative. Mm-hmm. And even though there are times where I feel like you don't necessarily wake up and go, I'm a more whole person, you notice when you get into situations that you normally would be reactive, and you can feel separation, but like you feel like you have space in your soul to not just go, what the fuck is going on? You know, and just where
well, that's
you just
exactly
go,
it, the space. Yeah. You've created a little bit of space.
Yeah. I was in New York a couple weeks ago and podcasted this guy named Bob Roth, who wrote the book, like one of the definitive books on TM, and he runs the David Lynch Foundation.
Oh.
And he was saying that he phrased it in such a great way, but he, at the end of the podcast, we wrapped, and he goes, oh, do you want to do a meditation? I was like, fuck yeah. Wow. And so he sort of like gave me some instruction. He said, you know, it's don't ever expect, like, you know, you imagine your entire being is sort of like, it's just this body of water. It's choppy up here, but it's very still below. Mm. And he said, sometimes you're going to have sessions where it's very superficial and you don't feel like you did anything. And other times you're just, you go out.
Yeah.
But just knowing that it never has to be any one thing, that it's just about the process of doing it, took off so much pressure of like, I got to feel something.
Well, that's so funny, because I think at some point I realized that I was able to, for me, it actually has nothing to do with the quality of the actual Tate, as I like to call it.
Uh-huh.
That it doesn't matter if it's phenomenal or I'm going crazy because there's noise or there's something aggravating me. That if I just do it, if I even just shut it, sometimes I even lay down and do it, which I know you're not supposed to, but I'm just so tired that I have to. And it just, it's profound. I know that word is corny, but it just is. And I don't try to convince people to do it, but I will say, like, there are a lot of really superficial, like good superficial reasons to do it, I think, too. It just makes you better at everything.
Right.
I mean, literally everything.
Well, yeah, because you have to imagine that if your brain is like the, I don't know, sort of like just the house of your, you know, it's like your mental house. If it's cluttered,
you're not
going to be able to move. If you're hoarding all this negativity and all this shit, you're not going to be able to move.
Yeah.
And it just sort of like scoops that out.
It's the crap out. I mean, I also lost weight after doing it, which is so, like, that's what I always tell people, because I think that is actually more of a better selling point than mental health.
Just get people in the door. That's all you got to do. Just get people in the door.
I mean, because you will, I think you will lose. I mean, like if you, if, because it just makes you mindful of your eating and not in a way where you have to be on a diet.
So funny. That's so funny because it's like, that's a big ticket item that, you know, if you sat down with someone and go, look, it's going to create a lot of space in your brain.
No one cares.
If you're like, I don't fucking care.
Yeah.
Well, you might lose like, you know, five to 10 pounds. Really? I better try that. You know, it's like, you know, get them in with vanity and then they'll, you know, then once they start doing it, they'll get all of the other stuff.
All the other benefits.
That comes along with it.
Yeah.
How long have you been doing it?
I think since around 2012.
Oh, that's fantastic. Do you do it twice a day or once a day?
I mean, when I'm really fucked up, I do it twice a day. but I should just regularly, but it's usually once a day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Morning, like right after you?
I do it at the end of the day.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I get my day on and then at the end of the day I do it and it just makes me such a nicer person in the evening, you know? It just makes me like present and happy.
So, that's nice.
Yeah.
Is there a specific room? Like, do you have a ritual for it?
I wish I had the luxury of that, but I think because I travel so much or I'm on set, like I'll do it anywhere. I'll go sit in a closet or a corner or my trailer or, you know, I've even found that I can do it in really loud places now because it's just the practice. It's the actual exercise of doing it.
Yeah. If you can figure out how to do it in a loud place, the implications of that for the rest of your life, basically, if you can quiet yourself when you're surrounded by noise, I mean, that has so many applications.
Right. Well, that's the whole metaphor, right? I mean,
right.
that's the whole point is being able to take that practice into life where it's just loud and chaotic.
Yeah. So you're from Michigan, which is maybe the coldest place in the country. Possibly.
It's so awful.
I mean, it's...
Yeah. I mean, I love it, but I don't want to be back there when it's cold.
Yeah. Like, right. You go there in the summer and, you know, like that chunk of the country between, you know, Michigan and Minnesota and Wisconsin, you go there like, well, this is fucking great. I mean, it's like, it's really pretty here and people actually go see theater and there's like a lot of art culture up there. It's like, why doesn't everyone live here? And then you realize for like 8 months of the year, it's... If you're not used to it, it's almost uninhabitable for
I don't know why people do it when you could do this.
I mean, some people like the cold.
I know. Some people like it. It's also just it's a very different mindset and lifestyle that if that's how you are, then I understand coming here would be weird and crazy.
Right.
Like we would be bizarro to people in Michigan.
Absolutely.
You know.
I know. I mean, I sound like a fucking weirdo when I say this, but my mood is very affected by the weather. Mm-hmm. And if there's a lot of days of gray or a lot of days of snow or a lot of days of rain in a row, I get bummed out. Like,
oh,
I just like to see the sky. It just when I wake up and it's not going to rain, I feel good. I feel better.
Yeah, you wouldn't be able to hack it in Michigan. You would lose your mind. It gets really dark after a while.
Yeah, and so you don't envision a time where you're like, well, I've done everything I want to do. I'm going to move back to Michigan and open an ice farm. I don't know what else to do.
No, no, definitely not. I see that as being somewhere warm or like Italy if I was going to do that.
Oh, Italy. Have you been a lot?
Yeah.
Do you speak Italian?
No, I want to learn it though.
I've been studying it on Duolingo.
Really?
And it's great. Yeah.
Cool.
And it's just like, it's a great app. And it's really simple and you can do it, you know, like if you're sitting in a trailer or whatever, you can do it like 5 or 10 minutes a day. And it sticks.
Oh, gosh.
After a while.
I'm going to do that. That sounds great.
Yeah, because it's really, you know, it's like it's kind of funny. You forget sometimes because you just feel so led around by life. You forget like, oh, sometimes like I could just learn something new or invent a thing or pick up a skill.
Yeah.
So
it's really good for your brain, I think, to do that.
That's what I hear.
I mean, who cares? Oh, God.
Who fucking cares anymore?
Why am I saying this shit?
Because.
I'm like hearing these things come out of my mouth like so earnest.
Yeah, but.
That's great. Great for your brain.
You know, it's just really, it just like feeds your, just feeds God. Your being.
This is why people hate actors.
No,
know?
Not at all. I asked you, listen, you didn't come in and say, let me tell you about.
Let me talk about my meditation.
No,
practice.
It's good. It's good. I think it's good. I think it's humanizing because I think people, you know, everyone's just trying to figure shit out. Yeah. And you're not saying like, this is the right answer for everyone. You're just saying what works for you. And people who relate to that, you know, like,
yeah.
You know, if it gets one person to go, I'm going to try meditation, and it changes the course of their life for the better, it's totally worth it. So
I agree.
Just so you know, sitting across the table from you, I have had zero eye roll moments from you. It's all been very positive.
Good. It's all my internal eye roll.
Yeah, it's all the internal. Yeah. It's just you being hard on yourself.
Yeah, no, you know how that is.
Yeah. I mean, I'm familiar with the drill.
I mean,
if we both meditate, there's a good chance
we're broken.
There's a reason for that.
Yeah.
But I think that's good.
I do too. I don't want to be friends with anyone who's not like somewhat sad and broken.
Of course.
I mean, those are the only, otherwise you're not funny. You know what I mean? Like I can't, people that have never had anything, you know, I don't want bad things to happen to people, but I do think it makes you interesting and funny.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's like comedy's a defense mechanism. If someone's never had to defend against anything, then they're probably like...
That's why it's good to be ugly, too, I think. You know, like when I was a kid, I was really ugly. Not that I'm saying I'm hot now, but I'm saying I was really ugly. And I think, like, that helped.
Helped you feel like it helped give you some depth and some perspective and some...
Absolutely. I do. I think it builds character, you know? I mean, there are these people... You always can tell people who were beautiful their whole lives.
Right.
Because they're just personality free.
Yeah.
You know? It's like... And it's... I'm good for them, but they don't need one, you know?
Personality free sounds like... It sounds like something on a product... That's a bad thing that they're trying to make sound, but like personality free.
Huh?
None of that pesky, you don't have to worry about anything.
No inner life.
None.
No. I mean, at least this is what I want to think about beautiful people. I want to tell myself that they're boring, but they're probably not. They probably have their own tragedy from being beautiful.
I mean, everyone has, well, I do think to a degree there is some truth that like everyone has something, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, it's... It's easy to look at people and go, man, they fucking got it all figured out. But I don't think, like, no one has any of it figured out at all.
No.
And I would imagine the beautiful people, what they do have to contend with is never knowing if people like them for them.
Yeah. Is it because they don't?
Right.
Guess what? They don't.
Just so you know. Doesn't matter.
You're right.
Doesn't matter what's going on. You better stay beautiful forever. That's all I got to say because there's another.
Yeah, that is a whole other tragedy. Yeah, like people who have been beautiful their whole life and, you know, life, aging, whatever.
But that's why it's, you know, like trying to seek some type of inner life is valuable because you just, you know, I mean, if you're lucky... You're going to get old.
Yeah.
Like it just happens to everyone and you got to be okay with it. And I mean, you don't have to be.
No.
But then your life's going to...
Yeah, you can just be a bitter asshole.
Your entire life.
That option.
And if you start getting bitter at a certain age, it just the steep slide.
Oh, God.
It's so
Oh, yeah.
So
you
easy.
See that. Yeah. I don't want to do that. I remember going to a shrink in my early 30s, and that was precisely why I went at that point. I mean, I'd been to ones earlier, but I said, I need to start figuring this out now. I think about that now. I'm like, 30 is so young.
It is, but let me tell you why it's good to remember that, because... my birthday is Friday, and I'll be 47.
Oh, okay.
And when I think about when I was like 32, 15 years ago, and at 32 I was like, oh, man, I think I'm getting up there. It's like, no. So that makes me realize, like, that's why I don't stress about it now, because I feel like, no.
No.
In 15 years, you know, I'll be that much older, and then I'll go, oh, 47. Well, I was so young.
Also, look at you. You're not you know what I mean? Like, the 47 isn't old now.
It's not. It's this is what we like to tell ourselves that. Yeah, it's not. It
I mean,
really
we
isn't.
Live in California. We, you
yeah,
know,
exactly.
Look at us.
I know. It's like 47 now is not like Mad Men 47.
No.
Like Mad Men 47 was like 100 by today's standards.
Yeah, it's death's door.
I mean, I have friends who are like in their 70s that look 50, you know?
Yeah.
So it's
I know.
All...
My mom just turned 70 and she looks 50. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's all fine. Like
we're good.
We'll be fine. We're good. It's despite, you know...
the seeming trash fire of the world, it's an okay time to be. Like, there are good things about living in this particular period.
Yeah, we have a lot more information.
Is there another period of time that you would want to live in? Do you romanticize, like, the Victorian era, or the 20s, or the 50s, or the 1200s?
No, I mean, only if I was going to be really wealthy and be a dude, I guess.
Right, right.
Some other time.
Right, right.
But I think, no. I mean, I like some of the outfits,
yep.
You know, from different periods. I'm sure there were great times to be had. I would have been nice to just be able to get drunk and, you know, smoke and have sex and not worry about any of it. Whenever that was, before everything
sounds
went
like the
to
60s.
Hell. Yeah.
Sounds like the 60s yeah. and the 70s.
Yeah, that sounds good. Because there's no fun to be had anymore. And that's correct.
Yep.
That's right and good. And we're healthier. But maybe it would have been fun to be a little more unconscious.
Yeah, in the 60s. I mean, if you could go back and do it, but know that it wasn't going to last forever, because a lot of people that did that and just stayed in that, like, they got fucked up. Like, they did not, like, the time was not kind to them because they were so hard on their bodies.
Yeah.
But at least having that period and going, like, yeah, I'll do this for maybe 5 years. And then after that, then it'll be...
clean it up.
Then maybe clean it up.
Yeah. Maybe we should all be able to have that, I think.
Yeah, but I was reading that... I was reading that, you know, young people now are having less sex than they were having.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's because of the proliferation of online porn or because of, you know, like...
Phones
or our generation was like, there's too many STDs. You need to...
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know if it's fear or apathy or if it's an evolutionary thing where humanity is like... They're like
we're
a
good.
Switch flick. And like, yeah, I think we're just going to try to figure out another.
I like thinking that young people aren't having a lot of sex.
Why? Because they're not like taking advantage
yes.
of their youth?
Fuck those people.
How dare they be young
Sorry.
And get to enjoy. You missed it.
You missed it, guys.
Too bad.
I like it. I like thinking that it's unsexy to be young now.
Right.
You
oh,
know?
That's really funny. I haven't thought about it that way. Yeah, that it's just like, oh, these old bones at 23, like, oh, for God's sake.
Yeah, no, I can't imagine. No, I think it's probably phones. I think it's phones.
Right.
Because you don't have to be vulnerable. I mean, like, I think a phone keeps you from being vulnerable. It keeps you from connecting with people, and that's so much easier than having sex. And the people that are having sex, I mean, I've read a lot about this, and Esther Perel talks about Esther Perel. I don't know how to say her name properly. Sorry, but she talks about this with people getting really, really, really drunk and having sex, and which of course is as old as time.
Beauty and the Beast.
I mean, we've all been there. But she's saying how it's like it's the only way that sort of kids are having sex now because they're not able to like be present and connect and just how that just strikes me as really sad and I don't know that it's a fearful that's they're scared. You know?
But also, I think there's the phones also. Create geographical separation. Mm-hmm. It's like if you know, the more people are around each other in real life, the more apt they are to get sort of swept up with hormones.
Right.
But if they don't have to be around each other to communicate,
yeah.
then they're basically just interfacing with a piece of equipment, like a device.
Right.
And that then they're not kind of having these kind of real human experiences, and those things aren't being activated, the pheromones or whatever.
Right.
And so maybe it's just. Like, we're just isolating ourselves so much that we're not setting up the conditions for people to go like, hey, wait a minute. Maybe it'd be fun to, you know, like, you know, do some stuff. And so I think there's that layer of it. Like, is it an emotional barrier and a physical barrier
yeah,
at the same
right.
time?
Yeah, you're right. Like, you don't have to go out. You could just stay home on your phone.
No, there was a period of time where if you wanted to communicate with other people, you had to – like, even when we had just phones, you could only talk to – one person at a time.
Right.
Two people if you had three-way calling.
You had that.
Yeah. That didn't even really happen
but
until the 80s.
That, it's like then those people, they would go out. They couldn't stay on the phone with you all night. So you had to either suck it up and go out or you'd, you know, nothing would ever happen.
Yeah, because your mom would pick up and be like, it's 11. You need to get off the phone.
Yeah.
And then you'd sneak out and have sex with someone.
Jump out the window. Yeah, I used to sneak out all the time.
In Michigan?
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, wow. That's, I mean, you know, it's for 8 months out of the year. That's a treacherous.
Oh, God.
You like, know you really earned those hookups right. by trudging through an ice planet.
I did earn those hookups. my mom and dad are devastated. No. But I did. Yeah, you would sneak out. I would jump out the window or I would go through the garage and then climb down the side of the house, and I would get caught a million times, and you know, and then I just keep doing it.
Yeah, well, because when you're younger, you don't really, you know, your sense of adventure is greater than your sense of consequence,
right?
And so, did your parents ground you, or were they just like, what type of parents did you have?
Oh God, they tried to ground me, and they did, but then I would run away again. I once got on a train and went to California, and like just didn't come back.
What?
Yeah,
like that was it. You just didn't come back.
Well,
at that point?
Yeah. I mean, my boyfriend had been a troublemaker and had to leave the state. He was older, and so he left the state and moved to Pacific Beach down near San Diego, and. He sent me money to get on a train, and so I just got on a train in the middle of the night, and I went to Detroit in a taxi cab. I got on the train, and I went to California, and I didn't tell my parents where I went. And
so what's going through your mind? Because there's a lot of time to think when you're on a train from Detroit.
Well,
are you thinking,
funnily
like,
enough, yeah,
this was a good idea?
Well, because I'm a maniac, I thought it was a great idea, and also I met a different guy on the train. I met another guy who was a professional snowboarder, or so he said.
Sure.
He was getting off in Denver, but he had like acid in his wallet. And so we dropped acid. He bought a bottle of, I mean, I was 16 and he was 23.
Okay.
And it was, you know, one of the great nights of my life.
Wildly illegal though it was, giving a 16-year-old drug.
I mean, just terrible.
So you met this guy on the train.
Yeah.
And you did drugs, and yeah. I assume you hooked up?
Yes.
Now, when you got to California, yeah. did you just part ways and you just went to see the boyfriend?
Well, dropped him off in Denver, the guy.
Oh, you dropped him off in Denver. Yeah. That's right. So then you had like another day of train to really, it's yeah. just like, okay, I'll just get ready for this.
Yeah, I hope he's not listening. And you know what? He might be.
Oh, no.
I'm really sorry
He
about
didn't
that.
Know. I mean, you know, come on. It was a
I was really young. I guarantee you he had girlfriends in California that I didn't
sure.
know about.
We sure.
were all young. Everyone's, you know, it's a messy time. But yeah, so I had a good amount of time between Denver and Pacific Beach or San Diego, wherever they dropped me off, to sort of like sober up and, you know, and then I never thought about it ever again.
That's
right now.
Fantastic. I mean, what a fun. I mean, you know, listen, if you.
It was
if,
great.
If that were. Listen up, kids.
Listen, I'm not saying go drop acid on a train, but...
When you're 16. And... Yeah.
No, this is terrible. Don't do any of it. It's awful, and I'm lucky to be alive.
I mean, unless you want to be a successful actress.
Yeah. I mean,
don't do it.
Right, but
the
you
lesson
know,
here is...
the lesson is terrible, because there were a lot of bad things that happened after that and into, you know, for many years. So don't get me wrong. I had to do a lot of, you know, getting my shit together after that.
But
so.
You had, but you did it. You can't change it. You had the experience.
Yeah.
And it was fun when you did it, and you didn't live the rest of your life that way.
No,
I mean,
God,
if you were
no.
going to do that, that was around the time you should be doing those things.
Well, that was the good thing. I got it all done before 18.
Yeah.
All of it.
And then you were just ready to focus.
And then I was the most serious, boring person ever. Like, I remember I was at Juilliard. My boyfriend would beg me to just have a beer, you know, and just go out, hang out with people. And I was so serious because I'd done it all. Now I just was like, I'm doing this.
Yeah.
I'm going to be an actress.
Did you tell him that story?
About the train?
Yeah. Because he was like, have a beer. Oh, I shouldn't. You're such a prude.
Well, there was a time. No, he knew. He knew all the bad stuff. Yeah.
That's nice. I mean, yeah. It's kind of nice. It's nice. It's nice that you know. I mean, I think it's good to be able to share that stuff with someone and be like, you know, this was a part of my life, but then this is the part of my life. As long as he never held it over your head.
Yeah. No, he never did. And I mean, I never went out with guys like that were, you know. I mean, if they, yeah.
You have a low tolerance for bullshit?
I sure do, yeah.
Good.
But I mean, but that's only because I'm 43.
Right.
You know what I mean? I mean, I went out with a million Edwards back in the day, you know. But like a jerk ones,
like,
you know.
Turbo Edwards?
Yeah, like Edward is quaint compared to the Edwards I went out with.
Right.
But you got to do that. It's Hollywood, you know. What are you going to
do?
Well,
and that's also how you learn. You know, like you wouldn't, you wouldn't, you know, you wouldn't appreciate the good relationships if you didn't have, you wouldn't appreciate the good anything if you didn't have a bad anything. Like this idea that everything has to be perfect all the time. It's like you, you know, as you get old, like I hurt my knee running and on the one hand I was pissed because it was, you know, it's like 3 weeks of like, oh, my knee's really stiff. But when it got better, I was like, wow, I wouldn't appreciate how good it feels normally if it didn't hurt for 3 weeks. I just wouldn't have known. Sort of like the people that, you know, we think are empty because they they've always been beautiful.
Yeah, I think that's true. Like whenever I get a cold, I try to remind myself. I try it because I get hysterical when I get just the tiniest cold. But I try to tell myself, like, you know, this is why, you know, we take it for granted, our health.
Our health is so fragile.
And we have to just be appreciative.
The body is a fragile ecosystem.
Yeah, it sure
is. And we have to... Are you a generally healthy person?
Yes, but I think that's from meditating because I used to get colds, all, knock on wood, I used to get colds all the time. I was always just falling apart. And then, you know, over the years, the more I meditated, the less sick I would get.
It's fucking stress.
It's stress.
Yeah. 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 It is. It's awful. It's really awful. Because, you know, I imagine, and I'm sure none of this is medically accurate, but I imagine you have a finite amount of energy in your body. And that energy can go to dealing with emotional, and it's the same energy, I think, that deals with emotional things and fights off physical things. And so if your body is constantly sounding the alarm and rallying the troops to deal with traffic or whatever dumb thing is pissing you off or work or whatever, then there are vulnerabilities for like other shit to sneak in.
Well, that's the same with, it's the same idea as like if you eat something really hard to digest.
Yeah.
It taxes your immune system. It's the same energy that you're talking about for stress or food or whatever. It's like you only have a certain amount of energy to fight off these things. And so I think like along the lines of meditating and losing weight is like meditating made me eat healthier and I get sick less because my body's not, you know, processing 400, you know, cookies or whatever.
Yeah, I know. I you know, I'm at the point in my life where if I'm going to have a cheeseburger, I have to put it on the calendar and plan for it. Like, because I probably am not going to go out that, like, I'll probably have to go home and just like,
shut it down.
Exactly.
Oh, it's so good though. It's like if I can have Mexican, it's like just know that we're not doing anything else.
That's it. We're doing.
Yeah, nothing fun.
That's the job that night. Yeah. Well, we were just in New York for a week and every night was like, you know, amazing Italian food and burgers and pizza and just whatever. And I knew like, well, when I get back, you know, like I'll get back. And it's not even for like, because I need to stay trim. It's just more like I got back and I could just feel it in my system, the grease and the blah. And, you know, and it really does. I think sometimes people do overlook that they don't realize that what they put in their bodies does really affect their mood and their state of mind. Oh, and if you're eating a lot of shit, you're probably going to feel emotionally shitty.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I mean, that I had a boyfriend who used to be like, you can't eat that shit because you go crazy. Because I would just eat bags of Swedish fish.
Yep.
You know, just straight sugar. Yep. And then I would turn into a psychopath. He was right.
Goddamn Swedish fish.
Yeah, I mean, it was like, you know, it would be like breakup material.
They're so good. They're so good going in.
Oh, God, so good. But it just does make you, I mean, and even now, my boyfriend, it's like if I eat Swedish fish, he's like, oh, God.
Oh, here we go.
Crying in like 45 minutes.
But you know what? The good news is at least you know that.
Yes.
At least you know. Because I think, you know, not all emotions are created the same. And so sometimes you can think, if you're having like an emotional moment and then of course you start trying to tackle all of your life problems like, oh, I'm not doing that. And at least if you have the presence of mind to go like, oh no, I just had too much sugar. This is just a physiological response. I'll be fine tomorrow.
Right. It'll pass. Yeah. Like that's the one thing good about getting older is, you know, you know that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you are wise enough to know that however you feel in a moment is not your default setting for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
So what are you going to just kind of power down for the holidays? Are you going to go anywhere? Are you going to take a vacation?
Well, my family is arriving today for this holiday.
Okay.
For Thanksgiving. So I'm going to meditate extra.
Excuse yourself from Thanksgiving dinner. I just need 20 minutes.
I'm going to take 20 minutes.
I'll be right back.
I'll be right back. you know, and then I don't know. I need some ideas because I want to go somewhere warm over the Christmas, Hanukkah, New Year's period. But it's a little late in the game, I think, to plan. So I don't know. We'll figure something out. My boyfriend and I want to do something. So
I mean, how cold? You know, Coronado's always nice down in San Diego. That Coronado Hotel is great.
It is great. I've shot there a million years ago. It's so beautiful.
It's really beautiful. It's just that tiny little nub of an island, but you're also across the bridge if you want.
That beach is insane.
It's insane. Yeah. I mean, it is a gorgeous, probably super haunted hotel.
I also think there's a lot of sharks there.
Yeah, probably.
You don't seem as concerned about
that
as
I am. Well, I mean, you know, it's fine. I'm sure it's fine. I've never seen a shark in San Diego.
Okay. Well, I haven't either. That doesn't mean they're not there.
No, I think it's safe to. I feel like it's too crowded. Like, I don't know. I've never heard of a shark attack. Have you heard of a shark attack in San Diego?
Yeah.
Oh, you have?
Yeah, there have been. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God, this is changing my entire
just
worldview.
Google shark attacks, California.
It's like number one. Oh shit, I had no idea.
I mean, it's Hawaii, Florida, and then California.
There was just one in September.
Oh Jesus.
Was it
Christ.
In like San Onofre or something? Encinitas? Yeah.
All right.
They're everywhere.
But honestly, it's so dumb.
They're not in Michigan.
No, they're not in Michigan. But they're also, you're more likely, that thing's more likely to like come alive and crap on your head.
Yeah.
Than, what am I talking about?
You know, it's, but you're saying, so on my wall, I have, that's an oscillated turkey. It's a old
What's
taxidermy.
Oscillated mean?
It's just the type of turkey it is. So it's like, it's a turkey that looks like a peacock, basically.
Wow,
it's a very colorful turkey.
Yeah.
I think the thing that's insulting to me about about a shark attack is that when people go, you know, they don't like the taste of human meat. So it's like, are you just going to fucking wreck my life and you're not even going to bother to enjoy it, you asshole? Like, at least eat
it. Right.
Like, don't fucking chomp on my leg and then spit it out. Just a fucking, you
it's
might
an
as
well. Accident. That's the thing. It's an if they bite you, it's usually an accident.
Right.
They can't see it. That's why they say, like, if the water's murky or after a storm, don't swim because that if they'll make a mistake and eat you.
Make a mistake. Oops.
Sorry.
I'm really sorry. I thought you were a seal.
Yeah.
I don't know why he has that voice.
That makes sharks sound much more endearing.
Oh, your leg. Oh, it's terrible.
Sorry.
I'm so sorry. Oh, my God.
But it's true. They only, before Jaws, you know, they wouldn't call it a shark attack. They called it a shark accident.
Oh, okay.
You know, I mean, Jaws ruined it for everyone.
This Jaws really did ruin it for everyone.
You know.
It really did. Did you watch? Did you like Jaws?
I love Jaws.
Yeah. That, I mean... Robert Shaw in that movie.
Ugh.
I mean, you know, like there's a lot of different. When Roy Scheider and Richard Dreyfuss and Robert Shaw are on the boat, they have three completely different energies going on.
Yeah.
But Robert Shaw is like, he is the fulcrum of that whole fucking journey. And it just makes you wonder, like, how does acting like that happen? How does it, is he just super comfortable with himself? Has he been through a shark attack? Like, what the fuck happened in that guy's life that made that speech so compelling?
I know. I'm probably a lot. I would think a lot happened in his life.
Do you welcome kind of that kind of stuff? Like sort of, I guess kind of like shitty things to happen because you know they're going to force you to grow? Or are you more of like a, you know, whatever happens, happens type of person?
I think I already got my shitty stuff and I'm good.
You're good now.
Yeah. Like I already went through so many things when I was younger and I, you know, but I think we're guaranteed that shitty things will happen at some point, right?
Yeah.
So, I just kind of, I don't welcome it. I think there are some actors that really love like drama.
Right.
You know, and I feel like I already live there in a way. Like my inner life is, for whatever reason, I was born that way and things happen. So now I'm just like, let's just all be happy.
Well, I'm so curious what happened that prevented you from staying in that place. Like, cause not everyone sort of has that awakening where they're like, oh, that's all bad. And I want to focus and, you know, try to take control of this.
I'm really lucky. I think I a big part of it because I don't really know. I mean, when I was in high school, I was like involuntarily committed into a mental hospital, and I was not crazy.
Oh no.
Yeah. And so I think like something in that experience just, I've never been the same. And so something in that, because I wasn't behaving or whatever, running away to California,
right.
You know, getting high, being bad. And that was sort of the only sort of answer that my parents could come up with. And so it just changed me forever. And I think like it made me realize I wanna live and I wanna survive and be happy and I wanted to act. And I think because I wanted to act so bad, it was the thing that made everything possible.
And as awful as it sounds like it was, do you like weirdly appreciate that it happened because it changed your life?
I've never thought about it like that. I mean, when you put it like that, I do, because I do feel like it cracked me open so horribly that I think it forced me to, again, it's one of those things that makes you really strong. You know, they say if it doesn't kill you, whatever. So I think in that sense, yeah, it also has made me very brave and things that, It changed. Yeah, I guess the answer is yes.
Wow, that's really incredible. I mean, did they, and when they, I mean, you don't have to talk about this if you don't feel like it, but what they brought you in and they just said, well, you're here now. I mean, did you have any concept of like, you know, this is going to be like a week or a month or
no, I mean,
weeks?
it was actually Thanksgiving many years ago. I was in high school and my mom said, we're going to go to breakfast, and my sisters were in the car, and I thought, this is weird. We would never go to breakfast on Thanksgiving and, you know, in Pontiac. And then we pulled up to this hospital and she said, you know, you can either get out or I can have them bring you in. And I was completely in shock. And so I had no idea. And it was like a month.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
And then was it the kind of thing where they were like, well, we're going to monitor your behavior, and as long as you're good, we'll let you out? Or
kind of, yeah. And I think that was also what made part of why I became an actress, was that it was like, for me, one of the big acting experiences of my life, because I had to convince them that I wasn't crazy.
Right.
So so that's why I think when I act now, unconsciously, it feels very life or death to me. Whenever they say like action, it's like if you don't convince someone, you're going to die, is sort of what happens in my brain. So I think it's all tied to that.
Wow, what a fucked up learning experience.
Yeah.
Is your mom coming out for Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
When she gets here, you should say, we're going to go to breakfast.
Oh my God, I love you so much. I love you. Because like, obviously I still hold a little bit of a grudge.
Well, how could you not?
Yeah. I mean, and I love her and my mom. I know she was, you know, was born of her own limitations and, you know, no parent wants to do that.
Right.
Obviously. But it sucked. So yeah, if...
Oh, that's odd. Why would we go to breakfast? It'll be fine.
So here today. So hey, we got a special breakfast planned for you.
Come on, you're gonna have two choices.
Oh my God, she would. It would really be amazing. I mean, look, you never know.
You don't know what's going to happen.
You never know.
You just don't know what's going to happen.
Better behave yourself.
Well, I don't feel like there's anything wrong with me. Interesting.
You know, it's hard to get someone committed, but... But it's not that hard.
How old are you now? 70? I'll probably swing this.
Yeah, I think you're good.
You probably, yeah. Oh, I don't know. She's, you know, starting to get to that age. You know.
Yeah, I think she hasn't been the same. This is so sinister. Good thing she doesn't know how to turn on a podcast.
I know.
Because I'd be in deep shit.
Note to self, don't wring hands in front of... Doctor, why are you wringing your hand? Yeah. Oh, nothing. Yeah, nothing. Exactly. It's all fine. It's all
I'm
fine.
In a corner like this at Thanksgiving.
The important thing is I'm completely healed now.
Yes, I'm totally not crazy.
Now I'm whole. Now I've become whole.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's great that, I mean, you know, you were able to take this really horrible thing and do something positive with it, which is all we can ever do in life. That's literally all we can ever do in life. That's the best you can hope in life.
Yeah, I got really lucky. I mean, I think I got really lucky because people have it so much worse and things that aren't survivable, you know, like things that are just, you can't ever unlock or undo. And so, you know, I got the perfect amount of that.
I really sincerely hope that you are able to have the perspective on yourself to see that no matter what happens, no matter what jobs you get, no matter what you do from here on out, that you are already tremendously successful. Tremendously successful. Just because, you know, you talk about you know, being 43 and seeing other actresses auditioning for the same stuff and going, hey, we hung in there, we did it. But when you see, like, everything that you had to go through to even get to that point, that's incredible. Like, nothing... nothing can hurt you. That's a great place to be.
That's a really great. And I do think there is some part of me that thinks that, like, I can be on set and someone could be fucking with me or whatever, like something horrible happens or we're losing light and it's all gone to hell. And there is some part of me that has that voice that's like, you can do this.
Yeah.
Cause you could do that.
Yeah.
You know? So, but thank you for saying that because, you know, you lose track, you lose perspective in this game, you know, where you feel like a failure all the time, or you know, it's hard.
It's, you know, it's a mirage though, like it's a failure mirage. And I think again, if you can sort of see through it and just go like, well, you know, here I am, I've gotten to this point, you know, it's like I don't really have to do anything I don't want to do. I can do things that I choose to do, you know, like that's really, no matter how big the jobs are, no matter how much money you make, it's like, I think the most success you can ever hope for is just like, do I get to do what I want to do? Do I not have to do stuff I don't want to do to survive? Yeah, okay, I'm good. You know, like, what else? What the fuck else could anyone possibly need?
Yeah, I mean, especially to do what we're so lucky.
Yes.
But to get to do this and the thing that I dreamed of doing my whole life, you know?
And it's actually happened.
Yeah.
So what is next? Like, what does next year look like for you? Do you have any idea yet?
I don't know, because we don't know what's happening. We don't know yet what's happening with this second season, what that means, if it's hasn't even been picked up.
Right.
I don't know what's going to happen. So I don't know. I mean, I want to be able to keep, like what you said, just do good work and get to do it with nice people.
So what are you particularly happy about right now in your life? Like, and it doesn't, you know, it can be anything. This would be work. It can just be like, I just like looking at piglets on Instagram. My friend.
That sounds so sick.
My friend just loves, like, I have a friend and he just loves looking at mini pigs on Instagram because they just delight him. Oh. And, you know, like, that's his weird little joy in life.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a fetish.
It sounds fetishistic. But it doesn't have to be.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't necessarily have to be. Who jerked off on the bacon again? I mean, come on, guys. What are we doing here? What is happening?
Everything's sick if you do it too much. You know what I mean?
If you do it once, it's fine.
One time it's a, you know, you're just, an aberration.
Then it's not a fetish yet.
Yeah.
Do you have comedy training? Like, is your background, did you focus on comedy?
No, I mean, at school we did comedy. But no. And I've gotten to do it a little bit in this show called Easy that I do. But people think I'm so serious, you know, they just see this face and they just think sad thoughts, you know?
No, I think it seems to me that you have a delightfully fucked up sense of humor.
Thank you. Well, I do. I appreciate that because that's what my friends, people who know me, my family, that's how they see me. They never see me as the sad person on TV.
Right.
You know, I like to laugh. I don't. In fact, that's my one like prejudice is people that aren't funny.
Right.
I just can't do it.
Yeah, you know, it's not their fault. They were beautiful in high school.
Yeah, you're gorgeous, but you gotta leave me alone.
No, well, and that's when you start to get older, you get to choose what you populate your, like, who and what you populate your life with.
Yeah.
Did you do like a friend purge? Do you ever had to go through like the friend purges like every 10 years or so where you're like, I don't know if this, I think our values are kind of.
I think it happens organically, you know, especially when you're always going away on location.
Right.
It kind of, you don't have to have such a formal breakup or purge. But yeah, I also don't have a ton of friends. So it's, I keep a real small group because I can't handle it. I'm not able to. So I'm kind of anti, not antisocial, but I get social anxiety. So sure. I can only handle so many interactions a week, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting that you feel like you get social anxiety. So, like, is it like in a party situation or just like around a group of people?
Oh God, it's just walking down the street. I mean, that's what meditating has helped. I used to not leave the house and I had a boyfriend that was like, you need to start meditating so we could go to a dinner party.
Right.
Because I would melt down on the way to it. And now I go out, I go to dinner parties, I go to friends' houses and coffees and do things. But yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. You've overcome a lot bigger things than just going to a restaurant.
Yeah, but it's also, I'm just hearing this and I sound like Oh God, I hate those actors that are like, I'm so sensitive.
No, but you know
what?
I
can't do it.
But that's, but the reason that that, the reason that that's kind of a consistent thing is that sensitivity is what allows you to observe and absorb the world, to sort of to tell stories and re-express those things and kind of embody other, you know, but it's still you're still sensitive. You're still emotionally sensitive.
Yeah.
So the, you know, the good part is that you can, you notice things and you can be empathic. And then of course the downside is that, you know, we're horribly sensitive because it's just like,
yeah,
the emotions
it's
are
the
all
same.
Up and down.
Yeah. It's not like you can just turn that off when you go to someone's house for dinner or a party or something. And I admire those actors that are able to just sort of do both, because I'm better at just being on, you know, I'm better at just doing the acting thing. I'm not as good at then showing up and being sort of fabulous, you know?
Well, I'm very happy for you. I'm so happy that things are going well. Thank and you're, you seem like you're in a good, solid place.
Thank you. I feel like I am, and it's nice.
And I hope there is a season two of Hill House.
I do too. I don't know what how I got to watch it at some point.
You really should. Like, it just because I think it's, I mean, there, you know, there are some things that you probably work on where you, if you watch it, you went like, yeah, that's pretty much what I envisioned. But just the colors and the tones and the scope of it and everything, like that element of the storytelling that you definitely wouldn't have seen, like, being in it.
Yeah.
It's really fun to watch and really beautiful.
Wow. Thank you. I'm so glad you guys liked it. And
yeah. Well, we watch every, and we're pretty judgy with, like, I wouldn't even really, I mean, it's like, it is horror, but it's not, like, it's so much more. It's not just horror or ghost for horror's sake. There's really, it's attached to something so much deeper than any of that.
That's what I loved about it. I mean, that's why I really wanted to do it, because I love watching families just be fucked up. Go crazy. I wonder why.
Well, and you also get, the storytelling is like, you know, everyone kind of gets an episode, so you get you get to see what everyone's complexities are and why they're the way that they are, and then you see them all together, and then you understand their dynamics so much more because of how,
because you go so deep into each character and
and ultimately it's a story about, like, everyone's just trying to do their best.
Yeah, I know, and that's really, you know, I hate the word relatable, but it is.
Yeah. Whether it's ghosts in your house or whether your parents committed you, everyone has shit to fucking...
Right? Oh, God.
I mean, come on.
Happy Thanksgiving. Yeah. Going to breakfast.
Anyway, as we wrap this up, you're going to be spending time with your family. So let's remember what's important. Let's remember to be thankful for what's really
but
important.
Really, though.
Yeah,
you have said that before on here, and I think that's nice.
Well, I'm glad, and it was so nice of you to come do the podcast, and I really, really am excited to see what stuff you do, because now I'm invested in you. Now I'm personally invested in you, and when I see you and stuff, I'm like, she's fucking awesome. And I want her to do well.
Wow, thank you. That means a lot to me.
Absolutely. Like, please, you know, when you're promoting stuff next year, come back on.
I will.
Let's check in.
I love that.
You know, and honestly, if you want to talk about meditation, drop me an email sometime, and you know, like anytime,
cool.
Anytime.
Yeah. I got to go do that now before my mom gets here.
Even if you have to pull the car over for 20 minutes.
Yeah, I've done that.
Oh, you have?
Oh, I've pulled over, yeah.
Just, and you notice a dramatic difference when you pull back into traffic.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It, for anyone, by the way, who's, because I've been talking a lot about TM lately, just, if you're interested, just go to davidlynchfoundation.org and just get some, you know, just poke around.
That's who taught me, yeah.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
You know, they were talking about, like, why they said, because they said, well, how did you discover it and what did you think about it before? And I said, honestly, I said, I think you have a branding problem, because the name Transcendental Meditation sounds hippy dippy, mm-hmm. and it just sounds like more than what it actually
Transcendental. It's that word.
It almost sounds like so are we putting on robes and going
into outer space?
Yeah, going into outer space. And like, no. It's just like, you know.
That's what I wanted it to be.
You want it to be. And then it just turns out it's just a really great tool for personal development. Fuck, whatever.
Weight loss.
Yeah. But it really is just about quieting and decluttering your brain, which, you know, people forget is so important in a day. Your body, it's like you log all that shit in your body. And you got to clean it out. So thank you for being here, Elizabeth.
Thank you.
And I guess we'll happy holidays. Hope you have a great rest of 2018.
Thank you. You too.
The end.
ID10T scanning complete. Enjoy your burrito.